Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, good afternoon, wherever you are in cyberspace. This is Brendan Cunningham for Real Estate is Cool, as far as I know. I always say that because I am associated with Husfar Real Estate, and one of the coolest real estate companies in 716 land. And today we're going to talk about this and that and other things that have to do with real estate because we think real estate is cool. Last week, we kind of gave our listeners a little bit of a workout because we sort of talked to them about, you know, millennials are a little quickier than they used to. Than buyers used to be in the past, especially that millennial generation. It's like they want everything and want to pay nothing. To that end, some of you may be aware that, you know, we have websites and different promotional things that we do in the wonder world of real estate. And I have a website. If you want to look on my website, there's lots of free stuff that's available. Talk about some free stuff today. But if you want to get some free books and magazines, things like that, reach out to me on my website, look, or go to my blog. At Brendan, B-R-E-N-D-A-N, dot Husfar, H-U-S-V-A-R-R-E, dot com. And look at the bottom there. You'll see all kinds of things in terms of promotions and blogs and this and that. People that want to, you know, sell their houses on their own, they can do that. I'll show you how to do it. I'll send you a copy of my book that tells you how to sell your house. It's all an instruction book. You can have it. But I also have a magazine that I put out that's called It's Good to Be Home. There I am with my smiling face on this quarter's edition. That is not my dog, although I did have a dog just like that leaning on the couch there. But I'm looking in my own little magazine today, and I'm seeing an article, The Benefits of Buying a Starter Home. You know, I didn't think I really needed to discuss the benefits of buying a starter home because one would think it's self-explanatory, but I guess it's not. Otherwise, this Bonnie Jaffe, J-O-F-F-E, would not have written this article. It's a very nice article, by the way. But I guess, you know, finding Edith Phillips, she says, you know, people just don't get it. So let me explain this to people. I am amazed. When I bought my first house many, many years ago as a college graduate, how old was I at the time? I was about 28. Thought I was pretty smart. I was amazed at what I didn't know about real estate, though. I really was. I can't. I mean, it's embarrassing what I didn't know. But I was kind of like everybody else. And so when I looked at this article, which was just written this year, many, many years later, I said, you know what? Maybe people just aren't tuned into this thing, and that's what it is. We think that they know, but they don't know. So quite simply, the benefits of buying a starter home. It goes on to say a starter home is usually one of the most, that's more modest in size, typically three bedrooms or less, under 1,800 square feet, and at the lower end of the price range in a local real estate market. Starter homes also need some repairs or updating that are a great entry point if you are a young buyer and have a limited amount of money for a down payment. Well, we're going to come back to that one piece of the puzzle here about it may need some repairs. We'll come back to that. But here's some of the typical benefits of owning a starter home. It goes on and says, well, obviously, and they're all lowers. You're going to have lower down payments. You're going to have lower closing costs. You're going to have lower taxes. You're going to have lower expenses. Why? Because you're paying less. That's why it's a starter home. You're starting out into the market. I always like to underscore this for first-time buyers, especially. I said, here's the deal. Your first house is not your dream house. If you think your first house is your dream house, you need to be working with somebody else because I can't do miracles and your first house will never be your dream house. It very, very, very rarely will you see somebody today stay in a house for 60 years. It just doesn't happen, especially the first house. They may stay in a house, maybe the second or third house, but it's sort of a process. And buying real estate today is clearly a process. It always was a process, but today more than ever it has become a very, very, and in some cases a painstaking process. And part of the reason why it's painstaking is that, if I want to be kind and gentle, I'll say, well, it's because there's not a lot on the market. There's nothing on the market right now. It's incredible. I was having a conversation in the gym yesterday with one of my mortgage banker friends. And I said, how's it going? He said, a little slow right now. I'm like, yes, because nobody's buying anything because there's nothing to sell. There's very little on the market. That's why things tend to go relatively quickly. But let's get back to the start of market thing. I'm always intrigued about each market tends to be a little bit different. But some markets have giant peculiarities about it, even though there's lots of generalizations you can make. But one of the peculiarities I've always thought was really peculiar about Western New York specifically was in any other market in the United States, you see this, but you don't see it here, where starter homes, if you went to Boston, Massachusetts as an example, starter homes tend to be condos because they're cheaper. You can buy like a one-bedroom, two-bedroom condo and get in for, a quarter of the price that you would on a regular house. But we don't seem to see that in Western New York. What we do is we see a lot of condos for older people, for snowbirds, for people that want to travel, but they're usually for older adults. A lot of times people, in the senior category, as a senior real estate specialist, I've sold a number of condos to older folks that sell the big house and they want to move to something that's a little bit more manageable because there's only so much that you need. As you get older, you need less and less and less and less. I always tell people, here's the deal. I sleep in one bed, I cook on one stove, and I wear one pair of pants at a time. But with younger people especially, they need to start somewhere. And that's where the starter home comes into play. And why they're not looking at condos is absolutely positively beyond me. It never made any sense. It still doesn't make any sense. So now let's go back to the regular starter homes. Starter homes always, since the beginning of starter homes, back when they had starter caves, generally speaking, you didn't get what they used to call a cream puff, a thing that was just delicious and already ready to go and just ready to consume. No, what happened was starter home was probably a house that was a little tired. Maybe it had a dated kitchen, a dated bathroom, whatever, and you could get in for a less expensive price, but then you had to do the repairs. And therein lies the rub. Buyers today are, in many cases, especially first-time buyers, especially millennials, again, I'm going to dump on them. I just have to. I think it's a product of upbringing and expectations. The last generation that came through didn't really come through terrible times. They didn't come through depressions. They didn't come through major war like World War II. Or even a Vietnam. Now we had, again, I'm not diminishing anyone's gallantry that served in Iraq or any of the other Middle Eastern conflicts that we had. People fought, bled, and died. One of my favorite people that I listen to on a regular basis is David Bellavia. He's a Congressional Medal of Honor winner. Technically, it's actually Medal of Honor winner. And he was in Iraq and served brilliantly. He's just a wonderful human being. I just love listening to him, not just because of the content, but because clearly he's of his sincerity. But that being said, the millennials and the younger people that are just coming into the market, totally unrealistic because, how should I say this politely? They've been spoiled. Their expectations are nuts. They think that they can get something with all the amenities of something that's at the top end of the market, and they think they get it in the bottom end of the market. They think that they can get that $500,000 house as a starter home. That's not the way it works. Let me get close to the mic here. That's not the way it works. That's my Biden imitation. Yeah, come on. You got to, get in for what you can get in at, and then you have to do the repairs. And then you do a little bit of repairs here, and you fix it up a little bit, and then you can sit in there for a couple of years more, and then you can sell it or refinance and pull that money out, and then buy your second house or your third house. But the thing about the starter home is it's become almost an aggravating section of the marketplace because buyers are just don't get it. I mean, they fully expect to come out of high school these days, not even college, and just to be making, they just expect to be making $30, $40 an hour, and that's what it is, and they're going to buy a house with nothing down and do all this. Like, whoa, back up. Houston, you have a problem here. You're not matching up with the reality of what is going on in the real estate market anywhere. Not going to happen. You're not going to buy that starter home. I mean, and if it's all fixed up, you're going to pay retail plus for it. Now, granted, your costs will be lower than somebody that is paying $500,000. But I'm looking at this particular article, and it's a great article. I mean, they have to explain this to people, I guess. But, yeah. But here's where the real challenge comes in the 716 market. The starter homes almost don't exist anymore. The starter homes used to be the cheap houses. Now, you know, your average sale price, which used to be like $70,000 for the average sale price. Well, now your average sale price is closer to $300,000. And your starter homes are over $200,000. I think I mentioned a buyer that I had last episode, and he's maxed out on his pre-approval for $180,000, and it's got to be a double at $180,000 because he needs the income. And you know what? There's not a lot of doubles out there for $180,000 pretty much anywhere in Western New York at this point. You could go to BlackRock. I mean, you're going to have they're just really hard to find. And if you do find them, they're going to need some work. If it's all tricked up and ready to go, just put the keys in. You're going to pay retail plus for it. That's it. Cry me a river. Get over yourself. That sounds harsh, I know. But you know what? Reality is often harsh. I pride myself on my consistent commitment to when I work with people. I say, I always like to tell them this right up front. I'm never going to tell you what you want to hear. I'm only going to tell you what you need to know. And then from there, you make your own decisions. So I don't know what to tell you. And what's happened in a lot of cases is because the market has become so tight where there's nothing on the market, especially in the starter market, there's very little on the market. But that doesn't mean you quit and stop looking. You still have to keep looking. It may take you, instead of taking 2 months or 3 months, it may take a year. It may take a year and a half. But you got to get in. Because by the time I'll wait 3 years, 4 years, the train keeps accelerating. I don't know if anyone understands that out there. The train is moving faster and faster away from the platform. You can only run fast enough to catch it. And then you know what happens? You miss the train. Virtually 100% of the people that are renting in New York City have missed that train because you can't go year after year after year paying $3,000 and $4,000 and $5,000 and $6,000 a month and save any money. You just can't get it. And of course, the prices keep continuing up. And Manhattan is and New York City is the worst case scenario for all of the things that have happened and have gone wrong with real estate. And much of it has to do with not just the free market system, which is what it is, but the fact that, especially in places like New York City, you've had governmental control just run that city into the ground. It literally destroyed the South Bronx. It's taken almost 70 years for it to begin to start coming back. Rent control absolutely destroyed the South Bronx. And things like rent stabilization, which it really doesn't stabilize anything. It kicks the can further down the road so that when somebody does move out, the rents get jacked up automatically, even if the landlord doesn't want it. But they have to do it because it's government mandated. So just craziness. So I'm looking at this wonderful little book. It says, Good to Be Home. I'm looking at this article about first-time buyers and, about starter homes. And I'm always looking whenever I hear the term starter for that little thing like on the motorcycle where you kick that thing down to start it. I'm looking in the front here where the landscaping is. I don't see that little thing that you kick to get it started. But I guess the house just sits there. It doesn't go anywhere. But so, yeah, you can always pick up a Good to Be Home magazine. Just reach out to me. I'll make sure you get one. I'll put you on my mailing list. It's a fun read. And this month you get to see that dog that doesn't look like my dog. Actually, it looks like my dog, but it's not my dog. That would have been Louie, the wonder dog, who's gone on to his reward. What do they call it? He's crossed over into the Rainbow Bridge. He had a good run while we had him. He was a nice rescue dog. Now I've got two other rescue dogs. Rescue dog is the only way to go as far as I'm concerned.
I have a friend of mine, they spent like $2,000 for a golden doodle or some sort of a doodle thing. It's a nice dog, but it's $2,000. I mean, heck, they could have had 20 dogs that or rescue dogs. And my daughter brought her rescue dog over to play with their dog, and they get along swell. They're both dogs, great dogs. So, all right, so that's all I want to say about starter homes. I mean, yeah, you know what? If you need to get a starter home, get a starter home, and recognize that today it will be more of a challenge. But don't short sell yourself by not considering condominiums. The condominiums, I mean, your average starter home might be in the low twos. You might find one on a rare occasion up here under that, but I don't think that's really going to be a thing. But unless it's a one bedroom or something. But starter homes are just going to be more, and your carrying costs are usually more on the starter homes sometimes too, if it's an actual house as opposed to a condominium. Why? Because I told you had to do the repairs, because sometimes they're not in great shape. You got to do, I mean, the livable certainly, but you got to make some repairs. Well, if you have to make repairs, it offsets cash flow that you might have used, and that's why sometimes the condo makes a lot more sense, because you're actually using dollars for the place that you're living in now. It's not like you're fixing it up, as we like to say, for the next person that's going to buy it. So don't overlook condos. Kind of smart way to go. And especially when you're starting out if you buy a condo, typically it's a young couple or it could be a single person. So all you need is a condo. You don't need all the house and all the rooms and all this kind of, know what you need as opposed to what you want. Mick Jagger say, you can't always get what you want, but you find somehow that if you try, you get what you need. Yeah. Can't always get what you want. I think of one of my buyers. It was actually the person with the snickerdoodle, whatever the doodle dog was. They bought a house in the burbs and it had really high taxes, and it was just the two of them. And finally, they woke up and they said, "This is crazy. What did we buy this house for? I mean, I know it's nice and all, but we don't need all this." So they wound up selling it. Now they have a double. They live in the double, and the rent that they're getting upstairs more than pays for their entire mortgage. So they're living for free now. Oh, and by the way, the flat that they live in the double is about 100 feet less than the brand new full house that they had before that they were using as a start home. Oh, and by the way, the yard that they have in the double is bigger than the yard that they had in what they were calling their starter home. And the taxes are literally four times in the starter house than they are in the double. You know, it's okay. So you really need to focus in, and your agent is truly your best friend on this, because they can ask the questions. They can ask the questions that you haven't even begun to think about. They're going to give you the questions that you should be asking, as opposed to the questions that you have. A lot of times when I work with sellers, I'll say them, because I said, naturally, you're going to have some questions for me. Obviously, I'm going to have some questions for you. And then when we're finished, we can decide whether we want to work together. I said, but be assured, when you get through with your questions, I'm going to give you the questions that you should have been asking me. Oh, can you give them to me now? I said, we'll do them when we're ready. But I guarantee you, I'm going to let you know what you need to know. These are the questions that nobody asks, but they should ask. So, I mean, I think that's part of a good agent's obligation when they work with sellers in that particular case. But with buyers, you know, rely on the expertise of your agent. If he's been recommended or she's been recommended to you and you have a tracker and you know that they're good, let them do their job. Let them do their job. Stay with them, but understand, part of the job is they got to convey to you, like this, I guess the person in this article conveyed, is you got to understand how the process works. I'm almost embarrassed when I think back what I didn't know. Gosh, amazing. And again, I'm smart. And I'm sure the people listening here are smart, but they just, you know, you don't know what you don't know. That's the problem. And at least at this stage of the game, yeah, I kind of know. I kind of know what I know. And sometimes that's scary, too. So what else can we talk about today? You know what? I was thinking here that we just came off of
what was yesterday? Juneteenth.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing about Juneteenth that's important from a real estate perspective. How am I going to get this to be about real estate? One of the things that happens is particularly in New York State, is they have mandated that all contracts must have an attorney approve them or disapprove them, whatever. And they give 3 business days to do that. So I was having a conversation with a new agent, and I said, let's think about this for a second. Okay, 3 business days. Juneteenth would technically not be what they call a business day. Why? Because it's a federal holiday, so it's out. So let's presume that last week on Tuesday, because today's Tuesday, let's presume we sold the property, we had a meeting of the minds, and the buyer agrees to pay X, and the seller agrees to accept X from the buyer. It's a deal. Everything's wonderful. They now, it's now Wednesday the next day, they're finalizing the paperwork or the electronic paperwork, and they're able to get it off to the attorney, and they get it to the attorney on Thursday at 10 o'clock in the morning. I said, when would your 3-day period expire? She thought about it, and I'm going to cut to the chase since we're only in the last segment of the show here. And she said, well, I guess 3 days, and she counted days, I guess around Tuesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I said, no. I said, because we have to have business days. So here's the deal. Thursday wouldn't count at all because it's not a full business day. Because remember I said we got it through the attorney at 10 o'clock in the morning. It has to be at 9 o'clock in the morning. So from 9 to 5, that's a business day. Oh, and it can't be a weekend. It can't be a holiday. So the first business day would have been Friday. Saturday, Sunday doesn't count. Monday doesn't count. Tuesday would be the second business day, and Wednesday would be the third business day. You would not actually have a deal finalized until Thursday at, excuse me, let me do the days again. Tuesday counted. Wednesday at 5 would be the earliest that you would have what they call an official transaction approved by the attorneys. The 3 business days ran up. But remember, I said you had a meeting of the minds on Tuesday, the fun. So you went 8 days because of Juneteenth being the legal holiday. See how all of a sudden 3 days became 3 business days, became 8 days. That's why that's important to know what a business day is. Now, let's really get out of control here, throw some extra days in it. What if they don't have an attorney? Well, if you look at the Erie County contract, and 99% of the agents can't answer this question because they don't look at this particular segment of the contract because it's all filled in. There's nothing to be filled. There are no blanks. It's all what they call boilerplate. It's just clauses. One of the things it says that in the event that the party doesn't have an attorney, that party will get 2 days, how many? 2 business days to find an attorney. Okay, so let's presume my first case scenario that I gave you before, and I'll keep all the dates intact there. But remember I said I was going to send it off to the attorney on Thursday? Well, I can't send it off to the attorney on Thursday because I don't have an attorney. So I guess in that particular case, he's going to burn Thursday and Friday off as his 2 days to search for an attorney. Well, we're going to go Saturday, Sunday, and then Monday didn't count because it was Juneteenth. So now we're up to Tuesday again. So let's presume now he's going to get 3 days from Tuesday, right? Well, what if he didn't find an attorney? We gave him 2 days. Well, what if he didn't? Should we just pack up our bags and go home? Well, I always describe transactions like this as being what they call free fall. We had a meeting of the minds, but we can't nail this thing down. In that particular case, what are you going to do? Are you going to pull the rug out from one of the parties and say, listen, you didn't do what you needed to do? You could. Either party can walk away at that point because you got a whole lot of nothing. But you can see where you're adding days here because people aren't doing what they need to do and they're forgetting the timeline. So if I did it that way, in theory, I could probably go all the way out to, okay, I'll give him another day to find it. Okay, so now I get the contract to the guy on Wednesday, right? I get the contract to the attorney on Wednesday at 10 o'clock. That attorney's not going to count Wednesday, and
even if you force him to say, well, did you? He says, yeah, but I didn't get it. It was a full, wasn't a free day, full day. Well, now I'm going to go Thursday, Friday. The weekend comes up, Saturday, Sunday. Now I'm going to go Monday up to 5 o'clock there. So I'm literally going to go almost 2 weeks on that transaction because you had an extra legal holiday in there. You say, well, it doesn't happen very often. It happens a lot. It happens, and we got another one coming up in 2 weeks with the 4th of July. Same deal. And 4th of July is really screwy this year because it's on a Tuesday. Oh, my God. So, you know, you're going to do the thing where you're going to have them, you're going to sell the thing on Thursday, right? Get it to the attorney on Friday before 9, good. So now Friday would count, and Monday would count, but Tuesday wouldn't count. And I'll bet you, you know what, if you have an attorney in there, they'll say, well, I didn't come in the office on Monday because it wasn't the holiday, but everyone was closing on Monday anyway. You get into that whole mishigash. And then we get into the whole mishigash about the legality, the reality, and what the contract actually says. You do have to know your timelines, though. But the point of the exercise is this. Time is not your friend in a real estate transaction. Time is only your friend on certain red wines and certain kinds of cheeses. Otherwise, things go bad. And, I mean, what's the possibility or probability that somebody's just going to get buyer's remorse or seller's remorse if they have 8 or 9 or 10 days to think about things? Oh, my God, I think, you know, maybe we should have just gone to Florida. This is taking too long. And people back out. That's why a good agent stays on top of things. They know they got to get it to the attorney before 9 o'clock the next day. They know that they have to make sure they have an attorney before they write the contract. I mean, if you see a contract that doesn't have the attorney's name on it, you already have a problem going into the thing. Number one thing you should do if you're an agent is make sure you get the whole thing filled out. Make sure you have all the parties identified. At any rate, real estate can be a jungle sometimes, and sometimes real estate is not cool when people don't do what they're supposed to do. That's why it's critical, critical, critical that you surround yourself by the best experts that you can get. And I didn't say that money can buy because they're not more expensive to get the best people, but you got to find them. And you have to understand what the challenges are. So if you're a buyer starting out, understand what a starter home is. Don't rule out the possibility of condominiums. They're cheaper than regular houses. And many times they can actually be a much better deal all around. Sometimes they're not, but you have to look at it on a case-by-case basis. Everything's case-by-case. And the other thing is, understand if you're a first-time buyer, you're starting out, especially in 716, it's going to just take you longer to find that property. It just is. You know. And if you're not going to be patient and you say, well, oh, wait till next year, good. Do me a favor. Get out of my car now because that's a sucker's game. These days, I really can't say get out of my car. Because nobody goes in your car anymore. Now they just meet you just at the properties. Very rare does somebody want to ride with you anymore. But, so that's my pontification for this week. Know what you need to know and especially embrace who you need to embrace. And they're good agents and good real estate attorneys. Not necessarily in that order, but probably in that order. And make sure you're sensitive to those timelines. Being realistic is probably the most important thing, I suppose. But either way, and who's going to keep you being realistic? A good agent. A good agent is actually kind of a tough person. They kind of beat you up when you need to get beaten up a little bit, and when you start going off on tangents. So understand again, more than anything else, it's a process, or as I like to say for my Canadian friends that listen in, it's a process, and don't get turned off by the fact that they say, oh, this is too hard. Yes, it is. It is hard. Finding an apartment is hard. Finding a house is hard. And doing the right thing is always hard. And doing the right thing with the right support team makes things a lot easier. That is our show for the week. Tune in next week, and we will have interesting and exciting things for you to keep a camera about, like we always do. I'm Brendan Cunningham, because real estate is cool. As far as I know.
Brendan Cunningham.
Hello. I'm good. Thank you.
Sorry, it was a completely different client, but not,
don't,
never mind. Hi, I'm here.
Hey, how are you?
I'm sorry.
All right, so you want to do a listing. Oh, you got all the paperwork there?
You gave me that. We did. We went over it.
Okay, give me that copy over there then. So now what?
So here, a couple of things. One, I don't know what to do with this listing appointment on Thursday. And then second, I have to list this woman's house, and I guess I just want you to, like, once I, this other woman's house, that hoarder house, I'm going to do it, and I'm just going to let it live. And I just want to make sure that when I do it, you can review it and make sure I didn't fuck it up.
Okay.
Okay. So that's not a pressing thing.
Okay.
I'm going to sit here and do it, like, after we're done. The other one is, I never went to a listing appointment truly other than doing like that one with John that was just like, we just walked around and talked to the guy.
Right.
So that's what I'm supposed to do then, fine, but
okay.
This is a friend of a friend who reached out and was basically like, I'm thinking about listing my house. I kind of want to do it. Like, do you want to come over, like, talk to me about it? And I was like, sure. But like, I don't know what to talk about.
Okay.
So that's why I'm here.
Okay. All right. First thing is you got to start asking some questions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, okay, what made you decide to sell the house? I'm starting with the W ones.
Mm-hmm.
All W's.
Okay.
What made you decide to have? You already know why they're calling.
Yeah.
Okay. So what made you decide to sell the house? They'll let you know. What do you like about the house?
Mm-hmm.
Because what you like about the house is what the next person is. Show me around. Take me around. Show me what
Should
you
Should I be taking notes on this?
This is your best friend right here.
Is this that listing?
That's your second best friend.
Okay.
This is your best friend.
Okay.
This is your second best friend.
Okay.
These are your lines.
Okay.
Let me make a note of that. I got a clipboard.
Okay.
I have an actual freaking clipboard.
Okay.
Because now you're like a psychiatrist. Now you're like, these are the guys that know things.
Yeah.
You're taking notes.
Okay.
Yeah. You can buy one of these things.
Like, I want her to take me seriously.
A buck. I think I got it for a buck.
I actually have one in my thing.
Okay.
Okay.
But in terms of, you know, they may want to know about your company. They may know about you.
Mm-hmm.
Your lines are in this book.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
I would review the thing.
Like, we'll find it
and
in
know
my
what
car.
You what you could, yeah.
Sure,
but you basically want to have a conversation.
Okay.
And what I always do, I always make sure they see that I have that book.
Mm-hmm.
And say, okay, here's my little soliloquy. Naturally, I'm going to have a lot of questions for you.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you're going to have some questions for me. Then we can figure out where we want to take it from there. Does that sound fair? Yes, that's a yes or no. That's me gathering commitment. But naturally...
Wait, well, say that one part again, just that last part.
And then we're going to see what our next step is. And we'll know what to do.
Yeah.
Does that sound fair?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So naturally.
Naturally.
Yeah. I'm going to ask some questions for you. You're going to ask some questions for me. So naturally, you're going to start with you. You're going to start with the questions.
Mm-hmm.
What do you like with the house? How long have you been there? What improvements have you made? Why did you make that improvement? Whatever. You'll know the questions, but it's a conversation.
Yeah.
But I always like to see this. See, you know, and obviously, if you want, when it's time for us to talk about serious things,
mm-hmm.
I can do my 3-hour presentation
mm-hmm.
right here. Or we can have a 20-minute conversation at that point. Just let me know which one you want to do before we get there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They're never going to want you to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But you may go to some of the pages.
Okay.
Okay. I got 3 or 4 pages that I use.
Okay.
And you'll know which ones they are because they fit each one differently.
Okay.
They're asking about social media, go to the social media ones. They're asking about pricing, go to the pricing ones.
Okay.
Okay? But don't go to the pricing ones. They're asking about social media.
Right.
This is where it gets to be like tennis. You got to go where the ball is.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah, and like I think I know it's going to be like not this like grilling interview.
No,
I think it's going to be very much
conversation.
Right. So I'm not worried, but are there things that I should have already looked into, research prepared, anything before I go there?
So, yes.
Like, the bare, tell me like it's day one, because it is.
Okay, well.
Like, do I need to do CMA? Do I need to look up, or like, what do I look up?
Okay, why are you going there?
I'm going there so she can decide if she thinks it's worth a damn to list her house and move.
Okay. So why am I here? That's a why am I here question. So why am I just want to make sure why I'm here. You want to? Okay, fine. Good. Whatever.
Okay.
Let me ask you your question back to you.
Mm-hmm.
So based on what you just told me, should you do a CMA?
Yeah.
Okay. Why would you do a CMA?
I want to do it because I want to give her like a general, after I walk through the house, I want to be able to give her like an idea of what the houses are going for in the neighborhood. But
and
like,
when,
I
and
have
when
to
do you whip
her...
that CMA out?
Oh my God, I don't know. I have no idea.
When would you?
When would I do it? Like not until the way end of our conversation.
you only bring it out if there's a reason to bring it out.
Yeah.
Okay. Again, you're going to go loaded for bear, but you're not taking the bear gun out if it's a rabbit.
Right.
Okay? I mean,
I want to know ahead of time. Like, I have to do research on her property and area.
Rule,
right?
Yeah.
Exactly. That voice.
We're talking about her going on a listing here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks.
That's a good thing.
Pay me.
That's a good thing.
So.
You need some help? You want somebody to go with you?
Yeah, I have no idea what I'm doing, and no.
When is probably. It?
But, oh, my God, but can you just tell me, please, what are the types of sidings that are, like, they're not cedar.
When is the listing?
Thursday. And it's, like, a friend of a friend. Like, I don't know.
What time Thursday?
You're going through as a peer.
I would like you to go through as a, because I know who you are, though, I can't go, you have to go through as a peer.
Why?
It's too much pressure.
Why?
Because it'll make me uncomfortable.
Why?
Because you're my boss.
Inherently.
I don't know. And also because I haven't seen her in a while, and she's a friend of a friend, and I feel like I don't want to like bring anybody like.
You want to be your own.
Yeah, like I want to be. No, not even that. I just want to be. I don't want her to feel like overly committed to like because there's like two people in her house, and then she's like
so
on vacation,
we'll
and she has to clean up, and blah 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 blah.
I'm
gonna
say before we leave.
I'm too scared. I'm scared to go, even though I know this girl through a friend. Like, I know her. I even know her because I've seen her. I know her, but I'm still scared.
You're only having a conversation with
well,
this friend.
The other thing is, hey, Joel and I work together. He's got a client that's interested in this neighborhood. You want to take a look?
Okay.
Just talk.
Wait a minute. What if I want you to come with me to this 2 minutes away? What are you doing at 5 o'clock?
Today?
Yeah.
The Waterhouse?
I'm going on a listing appointment with a brand new agent.
God damn it. Okay.
Or I would.
What about earlier?
It's
Brandon. Just so you all know, it's very fucking hard for me at this point to decipher Brendan and Brandon's here. And
well,
I'm telling both of you because you are one of them.
There's three of them.
Yeah, no, one of the three.
20,
there's the younger one, the middle one, and you're the adult one. So,
I like calling him sir.
Okay, so I'll sir you. But Brandon, Kamomi, what's his last name? Kamomik?
Yep.
Is he here right now?
Nope.
Right.
There's another Brendan here.
So I'm under contract on his house over here on Campbell.
Sweet.
And there's shit in that house that I'm going to go to the, I'm going to go with the inspector so he can tell me a bunch of shit. But like, I just found out yesterday we were going to go today. So I want you to come with me on one of these days because there's certain sightings I don't know the names of. Like, I don't know some shit. And
so
Ryan Temple was like, get a book. It's like this
so
book.
Why don't we do this?
But like, we can do whatever.
You can sort the MLS by vacant properties.
Okay.
And we can just schedule a couple appointments and a couple vacant properties.
Search about a bunch of shit.
Really?
And if we just, we can walk into houses. We're not just many families. Not
yeah.
House,
yeah, 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 yeah.
An estate or some shit.
Yeah.
Okay. And we'll just take a couple laps through. Just give you a refresher course.
That would be nice.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
Let's go back to your market analysis.
So.
Let me just jumpstart
you
a little bit. Yeah, I would have a full market analysis done, and she wouldn't know anything about it until she gave me her number.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What do I mean by that? If she's thinking of selling us, I would say, you must have some idea what you're thinking of charging. I mean, I've done a market analysis, but I'm just curious. You must have some idea.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, I have no idea. That's why I have you here. Okay, I understand. That's what happened. But
right,
I'm just
right,
curious.
Right.
It was that. So if she says, yeah, I really don't know, but this is where I do my ladder trick.
Okay.
Okay. Let's say the house is worth 200.
Okay.
Okay. Any day of the week is worth 200.
Yep.
She's from everything is worth 300. But you don't know because she didn't tell you.
Right.
You got to know what she's thinking because it's going to affect how you deliver your information.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
So when she gives you, if she doesn't give you a number, she refuses. This is when I did the last thing. I said, well, you must have some idea. So let me ask you, is it over 100 or under 100?
Okay.
Okay. She'll look at her head, will spin around and say, oh, God, obviously it's over 100. I said, okay, fine. Is it over? And sometimes I'll do it in $25,000 increments.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's only 50,000, depends on the increment. So okay. Then I said, well, is it over 150 or under 150? She said, well, obviously it's over 150. What's wrong? I said, well, is it over 200 or something? And she says, well, as soon as there's a tincture of hesitation, you'll see her eyes will change something.
Yeah.
You know, that's the number.
You're close, yeah.
That's the hard number.
Yeah, right.
Okay, now, okay, let's see what the computer has told us. And the computer's going to give us information, and it's only going to give us information on properties that are similar to yours. They're not like your house at all sometimes.
Right.
They're only similar in what they call amenities and location.
Right.
Number of bathrooms, number of bedrooms.
Right. Right.
But I could be comparing a ranch to a two-story.
Yeah. And I've said that before.
And they're not similar, but they're not like each other, but they're similar.
Right.
Because otherwise people say, no, that house is not like mine at all. I said, well, it's similar. Okay.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing. When we look at properties that have sold and appraisers have actually gone into those houses, in some cases, they haven't gotten into the houses. So sometimes even the appraiser hasn't actually seen the house.
Okay.
So you need to understand, and then you go through it. And the best way to do it is to use a range rather than some people insist you give them an exact number. I think that's nuts. How do you know an exact number?
Right.
289.97.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Stupid. Yeah.
But you want to have that and use RPR.
I know, RPR is lovely.
It's great. It does 99% work for you.
I've been very, very much like almost fully committed at this point to RPR. Because the fact that I can up and downgrade the RPR.
All kinds of stuff. You can change
better.
It. You can do all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
The other thing is also look at your tax information to make sure that the person actually does own the property. Sometimes they don't.
Okay.
And more times than not, they don't.
How's that?
It was the husband's house, and they were living. They inherited that, didn't get probated, whatever. You know, somebody got divorced. And they'll have husband's names on all the divorce. Well, I need to see this on a divorce.
Okay.
So it shows that you've actually done work before you got there. It's huge.
Okay.
Okay. But
yeah, I haven't done one little single thing.
You
got to
do
thing.
That.
I'm not even sure.
And the thing is, it may never come up because she may decide, yeah, I just want to, I'm just curious. I want $600,000 for this house. I just want to know how close am I.
Yeah. I know I saw him. I just thought he was in the kitchen.
Get out of here, you son of a bitch. But the thing is, people make this so much harder than it really needs to be.
So, but what about the end part? So, like, can I have a conversation with somebody all day? Yeah, of fucking course I can. But, like, when it comes to, like, the contract part, or if she's like, well, I would, but, like,
part?
How long do we, like, do this for? And how long?
I'll do what for?
Be in an agreement for, and like, blah, blah,
I told
blah.
You. I only do 6-month agreements, and that's what I do.
I know.
And I give them an honest, the thing is, I give them 6-month agreement because she didn't tell me she didn't want a 6-month agreement.
I need to be better at, like, this is like a polite manipulation, but I need to be better at that because I'm very transparent.
You need to
and
be
upfront.
Setting the stage. You are either the boss or you're not the boss.
I know.
You just figure out who you want to be.
I don't think I'm not the boss, but I'm not like, I'm like the assistant manager or manager, but
you
I'm not the boss.
You're the boss. I just gave you a freaking raise, okay?
I'm just saying.
You're the boss.
I know,
you
but
can go in there.
I know. It's not but. It's
and.
Yeah. Well, so like ever since we had that meeting and they keep saying, would you be opposed to? I'm fucking literally, are you opposed to everybody I speak to at this point? Like any kind of it like automatically makes them not combative. Like it makes them feel in control when they're not. Does that make sense to you?
Is that working for you?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Then leave it alone.
No, I love it. So I want other little things that are like secret tricks.
Tricks of the trade.
I want
good name for a book.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Okay. Yes. But anyway,
read it. I'll buy it. How much? Can I listen to it on audio tape?
I don't have it. That was before audio.
You'd be such a good, like, tape reader.
Yeah. I'm sticking to an audio book on that.
Yeah.
But, that's all of the story. But at any rate, so back to you, sir. But the thing is, you're making it so much harder than it needs to be.
I know.
You're going in as a friend and a confidant and their best friend, a confidant and a consultant.
Right.
And
she reached out to me. I didn't have to.
And she reached out to you. This is like shooting up a barrel, man. The thing about this is never do a 3-hour presentation when you only need to do a 1-hour presentation.
Okay.
Never do a 1-hour presentation when you don't need to do one at all.
Right.
You may not need to do one. You may actually be in the situation where you're going to do what they call an order blank close. This is an order blank. Fill it in, sign here. Pull an order blank close.
Okay.
And basically, this is asking the questions as you're going along.
Right.
Because it says, okay, this is, what's your name?
Right.
What are we selling? How long are we doing this for?
Mm-hmm.
What's the price? What are we charging? How are we going
to
pay these guys? What's the period of expiration and protection? Am I going to do this?
And you're saying have this filled out though, regardless.
The only thing that you wouldn't fill out on this is the price.
Okay.
Everything else would be filled out. If she questions you on the date, you can terminate anytime after whatever. If it's after a week, then stop. You know, and you have to put it up for a week.
Why did I just open my phone and have something to do with this?
I'm
right in the thing ahead of time.
But have your CMA done, even if you're never going to use it. It's good practice for you, but you may need to use it. But understand, if you show them the CMA and you don't know their number, you're defending your CMA.
Right.
Whereas if you get their number, and you have the CMA, you can adjust it.
Right.
You can go up and go down. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's up and down.
I like the up and down.
You can go up and down.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing is, especially with the range that they give you in there, you don't want to be at the top of the range.
Mm-hmm.
Just to the middle, maybe like me, I'm slightly to the right of middle centrics.
Okay.
I'm liberal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm conservative. Slightly to the right of the middle, though.
So on that topic, I'm having a hard time pricing quarter house woman. So.
Well, because you want to take her price and be done with it. So.
I told her there's no way. So her idea, so I want to know what your opinion is. Her plan, excuse me, too much pop. So her thought was if we list it for like 90, then someone will come in under that and she'll be happy if she can take under that. And
what does she want for the house?
As much as she can get, but like realistically, minimum $75,000. I mean, $80,000.
So chances are.
And there's no fucking way. Politely.
Is it mortgageable?
Absolutely not. No.
Does she know that?
Yes, we've had this conversation.
So you're looking.
I told her. I said you're
looking for a
cash
buyer. Looking for a cash buyer. Of a long shot rehab buyer, which will not happen, and or auto financing, which will also not happen.
No,
she's not sophisticated enough to figure out that's probably the way it should go.
Yeah,
so you're looking for a cash buyer.
Yeah.
Okay. Price it at a price that you can live with, and understand if you really want to manage this. There's a whole section of this that's called managing your inventory.
Yeah.
You don't have any inventory.
Mm-hmm.
This could be your first one to manage.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how long do you want to have this friggin' thing? 10 years? I don't think so. So in theory, you want to get rid of the thing. And if it's not going to sell in the first 30 days because it's priced wrong, what do you need to do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you need to get a price reduction because the market hasn't responded.
Yeah.
So you should have the conversation about the price reduction up front. Say,
I did.
Listen, if the market doesn't respond within the first 30 days, we have to make an adjustment. So when that time comes, if you're going to fight me on this, tell me now because we may not want to do this friggin' dance.
I did.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, fine.
I told her because I said I don't feel comfortable putting it at $100,000 because you're going to have nobody come to see your place. I was very honest. I said, here are the three houses around you that are selling for $80,000. And $90,000, and they're completely done. They're completely done.
And they're nice. And they're
livable.
The
hers is absolutely not.
People
People are just very delusional.
So
so just make sure you have some sort of a strategy built in, at least in your head, so that when you do have the conversation. Yeah. And then you get at a different crossroads 30 days from now when you say, listen, it's time to do this. Yeah, I'm really not ready to do this. You have to say, remember we had this conversation?
Okay.
The market hasn't responded. We've done what we can do on my side.
Yeah.
And I want you to remember one thing. As I told you, I don't do frigging miracles.
I know.
Okay?
I told her.
At that point, I might start using the F word.
Okay.
And
I did have this conversation with her that I told
her. And you may
have
to cut her loose.
That, yeah.
Okay.
And so I don't want to do 6 months.
Well.
So how do I write her contract? So
you don't want to have, no. You can terminate the agreement anytime, too. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
So I'm trying, you know, I can't do this for you. You need to work with somebody else.
Okay.
I'm terminating. I can't do this.
Okay.
You're allowed to fire somebody.
Okay.
They're allowed to fire you. You're allowed to fire them.
Okay.
It's really, it's really
fine.
Well,
okay.
The point of the contract is just that. We are agreeing to do this.
To do this. Okay.
But if we can't do this, let's know now.
No.
Why should we suffer for 6 months and not? What a lot of people would do is they throw their hands up and they would just let it sit there for 6 months. And then in the fifth month, somebody would come along and buy it. That's why you want
That's
it.
That's why I want it.
Yeah.
This dude that I'm under contract with, Brandon, has his house I'm under contract in listed with fucking 4%. And I was like, why is this 4%? There's
on the co-broke?
Yeah. He's getting 2 and I'm getting 2.
That's not on the co-broke.
So what's that mean?
Oh, well, who is he here?
He's here.
He's doing 4%?
Yeah.
Here?
Yeah. And I wanted, and I asked him about it, and I said, what's going on? Like, did you make a mistake? And I'm like, I mean this politely. I've never seen anybody have 2% on a listing.
Did you ask Joel?
No, I haven't done anything to him yet, so I shut the door.
You're cool. Yeah, I get you. Okay. I think that's not cool.
I think it's devaluing us, and even if he knows this mess, so what I've heard, they're going
through a divorce.
I don't
care if he's his friggin' son.
I know. The guy's going through a divorce, and he argued with him to the point where he's like, I will just do the 4%. And to me, if he's getting 4% and I'm getting 4%.
No, you're getting 2.
I'm sorry. If he's getting 2 and I'm getting 2, like, you're never allowed to.
It shouldn't be a thing.
I know.
It shouldn't be a thing.
But it is a thing.
It's a thing.
So what do I, what can I do or not do?
Talk to Joel.
And say what?
Listen, listen, what is
and
this?
Yeah, well, tell me what.
No. Listen, I'm not understanding. What is this?
Yeah, like, why is this acceptable?
Why is this acceptable?
Well, it's not it, but isn't it technically acceptable?
Okay.
Right.
There's the legality, there's the reality,
mm-hmm.
and there's leverage.
Yes.
Okay? The legality is perfectly legal.
Right.
The reality is people are doing all shit all over the place.
Yeah.
That doesn't make it good or right or effective or beneficial to the client.
Right.
The leverage is you got nothing. You got a buyer that either going to buy it, you're going to get paid that or whatever. But in the meantime,
yeah, the thing is like I'm kind of fucked either way. I have to do the deal. They love the fucking house. I'm going to tell
you. You do the deal, you move on.
Yeah.
Okay, you do the deal, you move on. And next.
Hey!
Who's that? Little boy? Oh, that guy.
Hi, there's no real privacy going. Go ahead, come on.
Hey.
Come on.
What's going on?
I'm the boss. The boss.
The boss. I'm the boss. What's going on? Like the Braves. You know?
My friend just colored my hair and I didn't have time to. Does that hurt?
Can you do the braids?
No.
No,
not when they're like real
cornrows.
Yeah. I have gotten my hair fully cornrowed. It's
kind of hurt like the son of a.
They like dreads
on. It's like one that gets right into your skin.
Yeah.
When you go to Jamaica
right.
And everybody gets the shit real tight.
Everything gonna be Irie man.
Irie man.
Yeah, man, that is the thing, man.
Okay. So yeah, that's it.
That's
okay.
Cool.
All right,
I don't know what to do.
That shaking and bacon?
Yeah,
I'm trying to learn.
And
just as a personal observation, you and your wife look so like the most attractive
literally.
Italian couple.
Literally.
And like neither of you are like all Italian, right?
No, my wife is, well,
no,
she... Well, she is. Her grandmother's straight from Italy off the boat. She lived in like the country. She used to take buckets of water on her head.
Oh, love her.
Yeah.
Love
so, yeah,
it.
They traveled with, that's her mom, and she spoke, like, broken English. She was so cute. God rest her soul. She passed away a couple years ago. And then her dad is, her mom's side is fully Italian, and then her dad's side is Italian and, like, a little bit of Polish. So she's not, like, full.
Where in Italy?
Florence area.
Oh, north.
Yeah.
Oh.
Honestly.
Unusual.
I,
not a lot of people left Florence. Mars is, they like to stay there. They have the money, too.
Is that right?
They didn't have a lot of money. I could be getting that wrong.
You're between Campania and...
Yeah, 100%.
I'll ask. I don't know if Mars is sticking in my head, but I could be wrong on that.
Huh.
Maybe it was something. But yeah, they definitely did not have that money.
He looked like a Dolce & Gabbana. Oh. Like crazy.
Yeah, they're looking like very fresh.
Yeah.
Very fresh.
Yeah.
Gotta keep it clean.
Yeah.
Have you been drinking your little mushroom?
Yeah.
Really?
Every day.
The mushroom coffee?
No, it's just it's like a little tincture of like drops. It's a blend. It's got like reishi and lion's mane and like a few other.
Oh, yeah, you got the mixing.
Yeah. I've been reading a lot of good things on lion's mane for neurological benefits. And I was like, look, I was going to grab a supplement. They didn't have it at the vitamin shop when I actually went. And then she messaged me. She's like, oh, I'm at this place. And she took a picture and there was like some, mushrooms and I saw lion's mane. I'm like, I'm
cool.
All over it.
Yeah.
Take it.
There's like a bunch of crazy benefits they do, like that it does. So I stopped taking all my meds because I wanted a fresh restart. And like yesterday is the first day that my mind has not felt clouded.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm going to start taking them like fresh.
Yeah, it's supposed to more or less like supposed to have like brain clot.
Yeah, well.
If you want to do a lot of mushrooms, like real mushrooms, where you can get a lion's mane mushroom. No, not those.
Oh, okay.
No, but like, lion's mane mushrooms.
I like real mushrooms.
The place to get that is the Chinese place over here
by
Home Depot. There's a Chinese supermarket.
Oh, you're talking over there.
Niagara Falls Boulevard.
Yeah.
You go in the back.
The Asian market.
The Asian market. But
yeah.
They get the lions. They get all. They got a whole section of freaking mushrooms.
Yeah. I went to the white
Bougie
people.
And they're inexpensive because it's the Asian market.
Where do they grow them, though?
They buy them from somebody. I don't know.
They probably grow them in the basement.
I've seen
these
little grow kits.
That place that I sent you, they
would
grow it at that place.
I grew mushrooms. In fact, I do crazy stuff like that.
Oh.
Psilocybin mushrooms?
No.
No?
I've never taken those, even though I was in the 60s.
Tincture, right? Well, you know, you might like I might microdose for a little bit,
Rich is seeing good listings when he's doing that.
He's supposed to, yeah, right.
Wow, any price is good, man.
Well, you know, it's supposed to, it's supposed to help with like, traumatic experiences. You had like trauma in your past.
God,
help you, like,
I
reset.
Everybody. I want to reset so fucking bad.
Hey, be careful what you ask for, you might go.
I know, but I'm scared.
Reset really.
Well, you do have to be careful, depending on like if you have, not saying that you do, but if you have some... Like, if you're, like, bipolar, or you have, like,
I'm bipolar, and my aunt...
Physiological. Psychological.
Oh, yeah.
Things
going on,
you might want to...
Yeah. I have, like, a very polite bipolar, but I actually think I'm just super depressed. Yeah, I, like, am just super depressed. But my mom's sister
did
acid once, a long time ago, with her boyfriend, who was the son of a cop. And she fully fucking lost her shit, and she's been schizophrenic ever since. Schizophrenic.
Yeah.
Like, very socially,
imagines
the most not real shit.
Yeah, it's scary. Well, they're starting to do a lot more studies, like, in, with medical, situations, under, medical supervision.
I've asked Dan to give me mushroom shit, and what's the other one? Not meth.
MDMA.
Is that
Molly?
Yeah, it's like Molly's like a pure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, can you guys do that to me?
All this stuff came after. I don't know what it is.
Yeah,
Molly and Smolly.
Yeah, the thing is,
ketamine. I'm thinking ketamine.
Oh, yeah, I've heard stuff. About ketamine.
Yeah,
as well.
They give you a little bit.
But yeah, you just want to do your research and be safe about it.
Of course.
And do it in like
scared,
a therapeutic type of.
And you can also do walking and exercise, right? That'll,
yeah,
that'll,
let's
that,
take
that,
drugs.
That'll level you down.
That's what I do.
Listen,
if I do my exercise and all things I do,
I'd be nothing. You want to lose 20 pounds? Take a 20-minute walk after dinner every night. That's all you need to do.
That's it.
That's it.
Someone else.
I take my dog out. We go for a walk.
Yeah.
Beautiful thing.
see the neighborhood, watch the flowers.
All right, I want to do this because I have shit to do until probably good.
Yeah, I got
it. Eat the bear. Go load it for bear, and if you don't shoot the bear, you're okay.
Guess who just won an offer? Over 12 other offers.
Oh, yeah.
On FHA.
What?
Yeah.
How?
Will you tell me about it? Are you about to sit and do work? Or are you leaving? I want to.
I want the story.
You want the story? Yeah. No, we were high.
The only thing we didn't put in was they didn't get guaranteed, but they didn't have money.
Yeah.